This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on October 9, 2014. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Okay, we're going to take up the next two items again for discussion together. Items 6 and 7 on the agenda, Draft Advisory Opinion 2014-14, Trammell, and Draft Advisory Opinion 2014-15, Bratt. Without objection, we'll take these two items up for discussion together because they raise the same issues. And then if we get to a vote today, we would take them up separately. And I believe Joanna Waldstreicher and Bob Knopp, Joanna, you're going to make this presentation. Bob, thank you for being here and for all your hard work as well over the past few weeks. So, Ms. Waldstreicher, you're going to make a presentation of these. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 1448A, A2, and B, and 1449A, A2, and B are alternative draft responses to substantially identical advisory opinion requests submitted by John Trammell and David Bratt, respectively. Mr. Trammell and Mr. Bratt are both candidates for the U.S. House of Representatives in Virginia's 7th District, and both candidates are employed by Randolph-Macon College, a Virginia corporation. The college has offered, and both candidates have accepted, unpaid leaves of absence for the duration of their campaigns, and they have entered memoranda of understanding with the college, setting forth the terms of the leaves of absence. One of those terms provides for the continuation of fringe benefits for which the candidates were eligible prior to the leaves of absence, including medical, life, and disability insurance, and tuition remission. The candidates both ask whether the terms of the MOUs are consistent with the Act and Commission regulations. Draft A of both advisory opinions concludes that the continuation of fringe benefits during the candidate's leaves of absence is prohibited under sections 114.12(c)(1) and 113.1(g)(6) of the Commission regulations. Revised Draft A reaches the same conclusion except as to tuition remission, which it concludes may be continued during the candidate's leaves of absence. Draft B of both advisory opinions concludes that the continuation of fringe benefits during the leaves of absence is permissible under section 113.1(g)(6) and advisory opinion 1992-03 Reynolds. We did not receive any comments on the request, and we received two comments on the drafts. If the commission approves responses to the advisory opinion request, the Office of General Counsel requests authority to make any necessary technical and conforming changes, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, the floor is open for commissioners for any questions or comments. I believe we've got some discussion ahead of us. Yes, Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been on the fence on this one. I found this to be a very difficult and compelling request. In a world where when parties are out recruiting candidates, the first question they ask is how much money do you have, and the second question they ask is how much money do your friends and family have for setting up super PACs. It's refreshing to see a race that has two working folk, shall we say, running against each other. Not a big dollar race of one millionaire against another. And I think it's good for the country to have more people who come from different walks of life feel like they can afford to try to run for Congress and that it's not something that's out of their reach. So telling them that they have to dig into their pocket to pay for their family's health insurance and, you know, make up the employer share in addition to going on leave without pay and sacrificing their salary, you know, it's asking a lot of people. We're asking them to make a sacrifice for the sake of the country. And, I mean, you know, there are other benefits to running for Congress and potentially being in Congress. But I think it's a good thing for the commission to think about ways that we could help to encourage more people from different walks of life to aspire to run for Congress and not view it as something that's out of their reach. You know, the problem here is we have a regulation that looks pretty clear on its face that corporations aren't allowed to pay for their share of the benefits. But if you look at the legislative history and the subsequent AOs, that regulation, which looks clear on its face, maybe is not so clear, and the commission has already weighed in on that and established that there are, it's not really as clear as it seems. And it really goes to how discretionary the benefit is. I mean, I think the commission, when it many years ago adopted this regulation, was probably concerned that corporations not gin up ways to supplement the income and provide more money to candidates just to you know, find a backdoor way of supporting their campaigns. That's plainly not what's happening here. It's kind of baked into the academic life that a lot of academics take leaves of absence for one reason or another to advance their professional goals. And that seems to be a long-standing practice here at this college, that they allow their faculty to do that sort of thing. And others in similar circumstances have taken advantage of that. And it seems to be pretty much pro forma that once that permission is granted, that the benefits will be continued. And again, it's a long-standing college practice and doesn't seem to be something that would be denied except in fairly extraordinary circumstances. Plus, we have the unique fact here that both candidates work for the same employer, and the employer is seeking to provide this benefit to both candidates in the race. So it is clear they are not trying to influence the outcome of the election because they are giving the same benefit to both candidates. So in some ways, this is a fairly unique situation, and perhaps will never come up again, where two employees of the same employer are running against each other for Congress. So I think there are a lot of reasons why I am inclined to support the request. I also note that while it's not directly analogous, the commission has on a couple of occasions granted companies the ability to pay severance payments to employees as they left their job and went to run for Congress. And I personally voted against those opinions because I thought that there was far more discretion involved in those, and it was far harder to say that this was a standard thing that those companies were doing and would do for any employee, because in fact they didn't do it for every employee. There are all sorts of ifs, ands, and buts. This seems to me to be a lot less discretionary. It's a small amount of money. It's a very limited period of time. It's consistent with the longstanding practice of the college. Clearly not intended to influence the election and not designed, they didn't gin up this policy just for this purpose, to help out either one of these guys or both of them. So for all of those reasons, I am inclined to say yes to this. We obviously had a lot on the table today, and I think we're still working on editing the drafts, but I am hopeful that by the end of the day we'll have some language worked out that I would be prepared to support, and that I hope that at least three of my colleagues would be prepared to support, and we could vote on tally and settle it that way so as not to needlessly prolong the meeting.
Commissioner Walther.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Commissioner Weintraub. I'm supportive of trying to work through the analysis so that we can make this happen. I think it's highly unlikely that the entities, the college would exercise discretion. And you have to recognize that I think discretion is almost always available to do something one way or the other in a case like this. So just because it's there doesn't mean we have to see it as an obstacle. I really think in a case like this, under these facts, it would be so rare that it would be exercised that we really shouldn't concern ourselves with it.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Commissioner Weintraub is on the right track on this, that the question here really is whether the proposed payment of fringe benefits is being offered in a manner similar to others who go on sabbatical or go on leave and who aren't candidates. And I think that from the information we have before us, it seems like it's clear that they aren't being offered more favorable terms than anybody else who would seek leave or be going on sabbatical. So I certainly look forward to working with you to find and way in which we can find agreement on this advisory opinion. Commissioner Weintraub mentioned that they work for the same employer, and I would just note that it's not just any employer. It's Randolph-Macon College, the alma mater of Kevin Plummer, my former EA, who is in the audience with us. So it's a significant fact that goes into the analysis.
But we can't show favoritism just because of that, Commissioner.
I just noted for the Gee Whiz collection.
What was your ERA at Randolph-Macon?
Probably less than I have to pay for healthcare.
Exactly.
Vice Chair Rao.
Well, I may be the only person disagreeing in this case, because I think, as we've discussed in other matters today, we need to look at these issues based on what the law is, what the rules are, and what the principle is that will be a precedent for other matters. And this rule with respect to corporate contributions, paying benefits and the like for people, has a very salutary purpose. And I think I don't have any sense that Randolph-Macon College, because these two people are running, is in some way trying to influence them by providing this benefit. But I think this is a very important principle. And actually, the facts of this case are that providing this benefit is totally discretionary with the dean, that often people have not received those benefits or the ability to go on these sabbaticals. It is not uniform. It is not everybody. The college specifically would not indicate who has received it and who hasn't, so we don't have any facts before us. And I will say that, you know, this is not really two working folk, as you say, running against each other. Although admittedly they are working folk, but, you know, I would guess that if a cleaning lady who works for the college wanted to run for Congress, that she might not be getting this leave of absence with benefits. And I think that's that's the issue that we have facing us, is, you know, what influence does that corporation in a different case want to exercise in a particular race? And I think that's what we're, you know, sort of dealing with here that might be a concern. But I'm more worked up about making sure that I make my flight. Mm-hmm. So it is not the most significant matter, but I do worry about us being too sanguine because of the particular facts here.
We're going to take a little more time. I think we can get to yes on this. I just want to echo some of the other points that have been made. The university sabbatical policies are unique to the context of universities. Corporations aren't typically just letting people take off 6 months or a whole academic year at times. This is so common to academia, for people to go to another institution, to take a grant and stop teaching and be paid by the grant. And so the what I would call flexibility in their policy should not be confused for whole discretion. It's because of the high number and volume of people who leave regularly that they need to be able to tailor leave packages, because if an individual is going to go to another university that agrees to take up their benefits, well, then you'd want the flexibility in your policy for the provost to tailor the benefit package to that leave. Or you're going to take a grant that pays for certain aspects of a study project but is not going to pay the benefits, well, then you'd want the flexibility to continue the benefits package for that individual. And given the wide variety of sabbaticals and leaves that happen on a university campus, they have to incorporate some flexibility, and I wouldn't overinterpret that to be a whole cloth discretion. And that's why I think this falls on this side of the discretion line, not the other side of our past precedents. And so I think we can get to yes, and I'm happy to incorporate those types of concepts here if you want to address the discretion issue to mitigate any concerns about that. So I take it then that what we're going to do is have Office of General Counsel try to work on a revised draft.
I think we're pretty close to having a proposal to.
Okay. And then we'll try to take that up on tally vote.
Yep.
conceivably by tomorrow?
Or even today.
Or even today. Okay. So we're not going to vote on this these two items today. We're going to spend a little bit more time working. Hopefully we'll get it resolved by the end of today or tomorrow. And that brings us to item number 8, management and administrative matters on the agenda. Mr. Palmer, are there any management or administrative matters which the commission must address at this meeting today?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer. And that concludes the Federal Election Commission's open meeting for October 9, 2014. Thanks to everyone.